Well, welcome to this service. Not many of us today, are there? Never mind. We're here. That's the important thing, isn't it? A fair amount of notices. I'm just going to go through some of the important ones, but you'll find the notices on your sheet, and they'll give you all the details. Remember, the situation regarding COVID means we're no longer required to wear a mask, but if you want to, you can. Reverend Graham writes, thanks so much to everyone who played a part in making St. Margaret's contribution to the last week's Open Gardens such a success. It was great, wasn't it? Tiger Club is back. Please tell neighbours and families now. We're in need of one or two helpers for the creche. Wanted. A 3 or 4 drawer filing cabinet for Church Hall pen. It doesn't have to have a lock. Please call 813181. Well, that's in your notices, and that's John Scurrell's number. Routers, sidesmen and welcomers, church cleaners, Sunday coffee, and Tuesday coffee are needed, please. Anybody who feels they can contribute, particularly in the interregnum, that would be very, very helpful. Right, One Can Food Trust. And currently need tinned meat meals, tinned ham, corned beef, tinned soup, UHT milk, tinned potatoes, tinned vegetables, instant coffee, condiments and sauces, toilet rolls, toothpaste, shower gel, and deodorant needed for One Can Food Trust. There are collection places in the Sanctuary, Holy Trinity North Porch, or 11 Kings Ride. Please pray for these people, particularly the family and friends of Sylvia Harris, and her funeral will be at St. Margaret's on Thursday, the 23rd of June at 1 p.m. here. We would hope that as many people as possible would come from our church, and also if you let people know when it is, or remind them of the notices, it would be really good, really good. Steve Taylor, following his operation, continue prayers for him and Debbie. Paul and Jean Rickett's daughter-in-law, Amanda, who is currently undergoing chemotherapy for a 4-stage cancer. So they all need our prayers very much indeed. Thank you. I refer you to the notices for all the details. So let's take up our sheets. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And our first hymn, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, 183. Please be seated. We come to our confession. Before God, with the people of God, I confess my brokenness to the ways I wound my life, the lives of others, and the life of the world. May God forgive you, Christ renew you, and the Spirit enable you to grow in love. Before God, with the people of God, we confess our brokenness to the ways we wound our lives, the lives of others, and the life of the world. So may God forgive you, Christ renew you, and the Spirit enable us all to grow in love. And the collect. God of truth, help us to keep your law of love and to walk in ways of wisdom, that we may find true life in Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen. And now they have the readings from the Bible by Sally and Alison and Sue.
The first reading is from the Old Testament, the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 65, beginning to read at verse 1. I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. To a nation that did not call on my name, I said, here I am, here I am. All day long I have held up my hands to an obstinate people who walk in ways not good, pursuing their own imaginations, a people who continually provoke me to my very face, offering sacrifices in gardens and burning incense on altars of brick, who sit among the graves and spend their nights keeping secret vigil, who eat the flesh of pigs and whose pots hold broth of impure meat, who say, keep away, don't come near me, for I'm too scared of you. Such people are smoke in my nostrils, a fire that keeps burning all day. See, it stands written before me. I will not keep silent, but will pay back in full. I will pay it back into their laps, both your sins and the sins of your ancestors, says the Lord, because they burnt off sacrifices on the mountains and defiled me on the hills. I will measure into their laps the full payment for their former deeds. As when juice is still found in a cluster of grapes, people say, don't destroy it. There is still a blessing in it. So I will do in behalf of my servants. I will not destroy them all. I will bring forth descendants from Jacob and from Judea, those who will possess my mountains. My chosen people will inherit them, and there will my servants live. This is the word of the Lord.
The New Testament lesson is taken from Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 3, beginning to read at verse 23, the children of God. Before the coming of this faith, we were held in custody under the law, locked up until the faith that was to come would be revealed. So the law was our guardian until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. Now that this faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Now our second hymn, number 27, As the Deer Pants for Water. Thank you. And we welcome Mary to preach the word of the Lord.
I will start by reading the gospel passage for today, which is from Luke chapter 8, verses 26 to 39. Then they arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As he stepped out on land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and driven by the demon into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. Now there on the hillside, a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter there. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherd saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came out to see what had happened, and when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might go with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. Praise be to thee, O Christ. So you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Now, years ago, a farmer from the interior of China had come to a mission compound where a doctor had removed the cataracts from his eyes. A few days later, the doctor, looking out of the window, noticed the same man holding the end of a long rope. And in single file behind him, holding onto the rope, were several dozen blind Chinese whom the farmer had rounded up and led for miles to the doctor who had worked miracles on his eyes. Because his sight had been restored, he wanted others to experience the same thing. Now that, in a way, probably neatly summarizes the whole of what I'm going to say after this, which is basically that, you know, with such a miraculous return of sight, or what other miracle may have been performed on you, you would expect that to have you to want to go out and tell everyone about it. Now, we're quite not exactly sure where the exorcism took place, but it was not in Judea, and the fact that there were pigs there gives you some idea that that was the case. But so far as Luke is concerned, what is relevant is that it demonstrates Jesus' compassion, not only for the Jews for whom he'd come to save, but the Gentiles also. And the episode stands out among Jesus' miracles as something odd. And if not careful, we can find ourselves quickly jumping, and that me mentioning it may send you off on this idea of watching pigs flying, so hold on there to that, but come back to what I'm trying to say to you. Because the real element of this is that there is actually a deep darkness at work, and the threat that it poses to human well-being is real. Encountering serious mental or spiritual illness can be a frightening experience. Sufferers may behave in a way that is unexpected, uncontrollable, and threatening. A much-loved person lashes out verbally or physically in totally unexpected ways, causing deep distress to the recipient of this rant, tirade, or physical attack. Or the sufferer may be talking, apparently in a completely normal manner, but what they are saying is totally irrational and unreal and quite disturbing to listen to. In this gospel story, everyone is afraid. Everyone, that is, except Jesus. The Gerasenes are afraid of the demoniac, keeping him chained up outside the city. Jesus, asking the name of the demon, receives the response, which is a sort of chilling glimpse of horror, because out comes a multiple of voices from the possessed individual, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." The demonic himself is afraid of torment on encountering Jesus, or to be precise, that which possesses him is terrified of the power of the Son of the Most High God. So we have here an uncomfortable window into the dark side of fractured humanity. And you've probably seen films, or I try and avoid them because I find them a bit sort of creepy and disturbing myself. But you see films where voices and different creatures appear speaking out of the same person. But to have no secure identity, selfhood, is indeed a nightmare for any human individual. We are all patchwork personalities stitched together from scraps of others' opinions and expectations, interwoven with our own memories and character. To have two names is bad enough. When the demons speak, they give their name, Legion, not the name of the man whose being they have invaded. And in fact, we never do hear what the man's name actually is. But to have no true individuality, wavering instead between the singular and the plural, is very frightening. And as an image of mental illness or suffering soul, it is powerful. But the dramatic exorcism itself provokes a mixed response. So in the man formerly known as Legion, fear has given way to faith as he sits at the feet of Jesus. But the townsfolk are less than enthusiastic. They are seized with great fear. You'd think they might be grateful that the man had been restored to health, but it seems that a violent madman who is just about manageable to them, whereas someone who wields such power in the spiritual realm, is truly terrifying. Because in Jesus they perceive a man who is unmanageable, and they're definitely right in that regard. So they want Jesus to go away, for his power frightens them more than the demon-possessed man did. Their fear of what they cannot understand inhibits their ability to respond to Jesus. Whereas perfect love casts out fear, here fear is a barrier preventing their falling in love. Now it's interesting to compare this miracle with the one that immediately preceded it, the stilling of the storm. In the former, we see Christ's power over nature, and here we see his power over the supernatural. In that one, we see Christ's ability to tame the wild sea. Here we see his ability to tame a wild man. In that, we see Christ giving peace in a storm. Here, he gives peace in a soul. Now, an additional insight that I've taken from this is that immediately before the miracle of the storm, Jesus has already decided they're going to go to the other side of the lake, which is where this encounter appears to take place. And is that storm, is that all part of this demonic process going on? That's just a question I'm posing, and one you might like to think about. The point, though, of this is that Christ actually gives peace in a soul. And the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Jesus didn't use some clever method to convince Legion. Legion didn't make any decision about this. He didn't sign up for any group therapy sessions or anything like that. because the gospel is nothing less than the mighty power of God imparting new life to a previously dead sinner. If God does not change the heart, the soul, there is no lasting change. Fear as a response to God and his deeds is a well-attested aspect of biblical faith, from patriarch to psalmist to Paul. In the same way that the disciples feared the actions of Jesus when he calmed the wind and waves on Lake Galilee, wondering, "Who is this?" so the Gerasenes fear him now. The only difference is in the response. Instead of being drawn into faith, they allow fear to separate them from God. They forget that to fear God is to grow to know him, and that this fear is the beginning of wisdom. So how do our other readings inform our gospel account? Now, we've heard from Isaiah this morning, and from it we can take heart that God's graciousness is greater than we can imagine. You would expect a withered and dry bunch of grapes to be thrown away. But instead, God intends to use even the most unpromising of resources. He will not reject those withered grapes, but will use every last one of them to make wine. And that has to be a most extraordinary blessing. Like a bruised reed that is not chopped down but tended back to life, like a flickering candle that isn't extinguished but coaxed into flame, God will keep working on lives with loving determination. No one is ever regarded as useless for his purpose. So if God can see the potential in a dried up old grape like me, how can or should I resist the call, "Here I am"? The demon-possessed man, restored to a right mind, understood that message as he went on his way, proclaiming what God had done for him, a crazy man. And through our passage from Galatians, there is a fundamental quality of Christianity that is revealed to all people, telling us that we are equal in Christ. So in the modern church, we should not be surprised that spiritual and real equality keeps resurfacing. Paul knew that it came from Christ, and so should we. Amen.
Thank you, Mary. Now Catherine will come and lead us in prayer.
Lord, you created us in love and for eternity, and you gave your Son so that we should not perish but have everlasting life. As you give us life and love, as you give us yourself, help us to give our lives, our love, and ourselves to you through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. As those who trust and hope in the living God, let us pray for our government. Let us pray that they go forward to make good decisions and act with wisdom and integrity in the pursuit of the common good throughout the world. We pray for those who are struggling to pay for food and for power, and for those who are finding life difficult financially. Comfort them, Lord, and ease their worries. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, be with all those suffering because of war. We pray for Ukraine and for their displaced persons, for those having to leave their homes and their country to start a new life, not of their own choosing. Give them strength and courage to take on the stresses and strains of life in a new and unfamiliar culture. Give them hope for the future, Lord, and comfort them in their distress at their loss. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, at this time of the year, when our young people are coming to the end of their exams, surround them with your love. Help us to be a support to them in their final exams and studies. As we look forward to the summer days and make holiday plans, we pray that the travel difficulties will ease and that we will enjoy special times with our friends and families. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. We give thanks for our community and for the coming together of the village in the Jubilee events earlier this month. And we give thanks for our gardens, for our runners in the fun run today, and for our special praise on the common for Mike and Ali. We pray that in our community we may continue to share and help each other, and we ask that you watch over all of us. We give you thanks for all those who've been a strength and a support to us in our lives, and for all those who've transformed our lives by their goodness. Lord, in your mercy, give strength to all those who are caring for loved ones who are ill, and comfort all those who have lost loved ones recently. We give thanks and pray for those on the road to recovery, and we pray for those whose road to recovery is not so easy. We pray for all those known to us in our hearts, all those we know who are suffering and in pain, and we bring them to you now, Lord, for you to give them strength and courage. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we give you thanks for our families and all those that we love. As the holiday time approaches, let us savour and enjoy the time spent with our families and friends, and let us be filled with warmth and joy that you are in our lives. Let your love surround us all. And now we'll finish with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Catherine. Now we come to our next hymn, which is 297, Jesus, Lover of My Soul.
Thank you.
Let us declare our faith in God. We believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with a power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And now our final hymn, our offertory hymn, hymn 976. Overwhelmed by Love. Well done. Please sit down again. Today is a special day, isn't it? It's
Cassie's birthday.
Oh, fine. Thank you very much. It's also Daddy's Day, isn't it? I got this from one of my grandchildren. Does anyone see what it says?
Yes.
I'm not retired. I'm a professional granddad, it says. You can come and have a look at it later on. I'll just hang it on there. Thank you. So, can we just stand and face each other? Mothers, fathers, grandfathers, face across the aisle, each other, thank you. We'll say the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all evermore. Amen. Thank you. And the blessing. God of power, may the boldness of your Spirit transform us. May the gentleness of your Spirit lead us. May the gifts of your Holy Spirit equip us to serve and worship you now and always. Amen.
Amen.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen. Don't forget the coffee.